This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. So happy the weekend is here, and I'm even happier since this crappy summer is almost over. Summer sucks so bad. It's terrible. Maybe not where you are in Texas, it sucks. We're going to discuss a little of this Russia-Ukraine money situation this hour. Some guy wants to talk about these young women advocating for violence on behalf of the communists. All that and a lot more, but we're going to talk first about this one. Hey, Jerk Service Jesse. If America would have taken all of Mexico's territory after winning the Mexican-American War instead of just the Arizona and California territories, would America have the same problems with immigration and the cartels we have today? Do you think the Mexican territory would have joined the Confederacy, making the Civil War worse, so on and so forth? His name is Rich. Okay, so let's talk about a general concept first, and it's unavoidable. There is something that is unavoidable. People in bad circumstances will seek to better their circumstances. I know that's a very obvious point, but people in bad circumstances will seek to better those circumstances. Now we get to the people who want to better their circumstances. It depends on the moral framework you have inside of you. There are a lot of people who are born in bad circumstances. Maybe this is you. Maybe you were born in an abusive family. God forbid, I'm sorry. There's a way to handle that. You can choose, and many do, to be abusive yourself. When kids who are abused by, let's say, their father will oftentimes go on to be abusive fathers themselves. You can choose to go that route, or you can decide, I'm going to be the dad I never had. The exact kind of thing works when it comes to people who want to better their circumstances. There are people who decide, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the right thing. Extra hours, double shifts. I'm going to do the right thing to better my circumstances. And then there are people who say, well, I'll just steal. I'll just kill. I'll commit crimes. Immigration works the exact same way. If you are, forget about Mexico, not just Mexico, really anywhere south of our border. This is Latin America. Mexico, Central America, South America. And I'm not saying it's all a dump at all. Some really, really cool places down there from what I understand. I've actually never been. I've only been to Mexico. But really cool places down there. But so corrupt. Unbelievably corrupt and poor. Corrupt and poor. Corrupt and poor. Corrupt and poor. If you're there and you have the United States of America right beside you, or even 500 miles away, you're going to want to go. Now, you can, again, it depends on your moral framework. Maybe you decide you're going to try to do it the right way. Maybe you think to yourself, screw that. I'll find a coyote, pay him some money. I'm going to get smuggled across the border, and I'm just going to invade that place where I want to live. But it is inevitable. When you are in rough circumstances, when there are peoples in rough circumstances right next to a country that is not in rough circumstances, the people from the worst country are going to try to enter the country that has things better off. If we had taken all of Mexico after the Mexico-American War, we would have had the same amount of illegal immigration. It just would have came straight from Central America instead of from Mexico itself. Yeah, okay, well, then take Central America. Okay, then it would have come right from South America. You see, and if you had taken all of South America, they would have just used the oceans like they oftentimes do today. We do have the blessing of being a place people want to come to and not want to escape from. Don't ever forget that about how blessed you are and how blessed I am. We are the place people will die to come to. And I know it's ugly, but we're the place people will kill to come to. We will. As far as the cartels go, this ends up sounding like I'm blaming us when I talk about this, but I do believe in addressing the root cause of problems. The United States of America developed an appetite for drugs. 60s and 70s, really. I mean, don't get me wrong, drugs have always been there in some way or another. Every society's always had them, but we really developed a strong appetite for drugs in this country. Cocaine, which is produced down there, Peru, cocaine became a big thing in the 70s and 80s in this country. It wasn't just Pablo Escobar. If you ever read any books on that stuff or documentaries or even just watch a movie about it, the volume of money is unreal. What an appetite this country had for a drug you snort up your nose and get you high. That the country loved it. Fell in love with it and started shelling out billions, frankly, to purchase more of it. Well, let me ask you something, honestly. Let's say your next door neighbor had old newspapers and people started paying him $50 for yesterday's paper. He could sell yesterday's paper for $50. You find out about this. There's a huge market for it. Are you going to maybe get in the old paper game? Of course you would. Well, people who don't have anything moral against creating and selling drugs, when there's that kind of a market for it in the United States of America, they're going to get in on it. And so if you're in bad circumstances down there in South America or Mexico, and you have an opportunity to become a narco trafficker, that can be a way to get out of a one-bedroom hut and live in a house with air conditioning and have a steak dinner every now and then, and they sign up for it. And we continue to hoover it up as fast as we can. We are the market for the drugs. We love them. The United States of America, for a variety of reasons, half of its wealth and boredom, we love drugs in this country. We love them. And as long as we love them, you could go send in the Marines and wipe out every cartel drug den in Mexico and find every cartel leader and cut their head off and throw it in the ocean. And you could do whatever extreme things you feel need to be done. You could do every one of those things. And it will disrupt the drug trade. It'll drive up the cost of drugs. It will certainly help. I'm not complaining about any measures Trump or anybody takes to slow down the flow of drugs. I'm really genuinely not. But even then, you would never be able to stop the flow of drugs into the United States of America because people want them. People want them. There's a market for them. And as long as there's a market for them, as long as there's money to be made, the drugs will come. Remember why we have powerful cartels in Mexico to begin with. They weren't that way before. The cartels were in Colombia, really. Why Mexico? Because the United States of America, this all took place under Reagan, started cracking down on all this narco trafficking coming from Colombia, coming into Florida, started cracking down on all that, started shutting down those avenues, the drug lanes into the United States of America. Well, did they just close up shop? Well, I guess we're done. No more speedboats. Nope. They said, well, why don't we just take it through Mexico? So they partnered with Mexico's criminal organizations and said, hey, we'll make it. You ship it. Mexico's criminal cartels got big by essentially becoming FedEx for the Colombian cartels. Now the Mexican cartels are bigger and more powerful. But by the way, remember the Colombian cartels are still there. Still there. Very wealthy. The Pablo Escobar days are gone. Not that kind of wealth and power, but they're still there, still wealthy. Still sending their drugs up into Mexico. The Mexican cartels. You know, all those Mexican cartel wars. You know what they're all over? The drug lanes into America. That's what they fight over. Think of them like drug superhighways. I need to control this sector because that's where I want to bring my drugs in. Oh, you have that sector? I better go kill you. Hang you from an overpass. It's horrible. But we're never going to solve the cartel problem until we tackle our drug problem in a real, meaningful way. And real and meaningful can mean a variety of things, but we have to get to the root of the problem, and that's the fact the American people love drugs. As long as that continues, there will be a market. All right, let's get off of this stuff. Let's do a little bit of history talk. Just a little bit of history talk, don't worry. Then we're going to talk some Ukraine stuff. Before we do that, American people love abortion too. I wish it wasn't so, but millions gone. We talk about the birth crisis, the baby crisis. Countries aren't having enough babies. What does America look like today if all 60 million plus are alive and well? And those 60 million plus, remember, this has been going on for years and years and years in this country. So many of them would be adults now, parents and grandparents. How many people don't we have because of the scourge of abortion? 100 million? Probably more than that. How sad is that? Preborn is how we can start saving those lives one at a time. Don't think in terms of millions, one at a time. Right now, there is a young lady who's about to abort her baby. Preborn is going to try to find her and offer her help, a free ultrasound. Hey, come in. No cost to you. Get a free ultrasound. Introduce that mother to her baby through ultrasound, and she will choose life. And they do that with your money. $28 buys that ultrasound. Save a baby's life going into the weekend. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's dig into these, shall we? Dr. Bronco Jesse, I have a question after listening to your history show about Andersonville. Pause. Remember I tell you the podcast is available on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and it's free. On Wednesday, we did a history of the Andersonville POW camp in the Civil War. If that's the kind of thing that interests you, might go download that one. All right. Jesse, I have a question for you after listening to your history show. Was the time period you described before, during, or after Lincoln had his troops burn southern cities, crops, and kill farm animals? This would have obviously contributed to the food shortage. Okay, so I brought this up once during the show that all that horror, 12, 13,000 dead, a death rate of pretty much 30% that exceeds Japanese POW camps in World War II. That place was only open for about a year, a little bit more than a year. I think it was 14 months total. How? Well, it got worse the longer it went on. It opened, I don't do many details, but I'll give you these ones. It opened in February of 1864. Remember, it was built for 10,000 people. They immediately started flooding people in there, hundreds a day and hundreds a day and hundreds a day. And because there's no more prisoner exchange system, as I said, Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant shut it down, no more prisoner exchange system, they don't leave. You're just taking in more and more and more. So every day, that's more poop in the water. Every day, that's more disease. Every day, that's more. Every single day of 1864, it gets worse and worse and worse. You don't have food. You don't have medicine. You don't have shelter. You don't have this. You don't have that. Now, what was this burning of cities and things like that? That's known by a variety of different names. The most common is Sherman's March to the Sea. That's General Sherman. Whatever, we don't have to go into it right now. Sherman's March to the Sea. The North decided they were going to wrap this thing up and make it a total war, and they were going to starve Southerners to death, essentially. Take a huge army, march it south, and don't just focus on military targets. Tear up the railroad lines. like you said, kill the farm animals, burn down cities. I mean, Sherman put Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, to the torch. He tore up so many railroad ties, they called him, what did they call him? Sherman's neckties, I believe, is what they called the torn up. They had a term for them. That took place in November of 1864. Remember I said February, the beginning of 1864, it opened? And it got worse day after day after day after day after day. Remember that? Get this. By November of 1864, how many thousands of men are packed into there dying from disease and everything else? And then Sherman comes and destroys what's left of your supply lines. It's a timeline tragedy. That's the reason I wanted to do a couple details on it. I'm actually glad you asked the question. It's a timeline tragedy that's just awful. Everything's worse. When they first opened it, they didn't have enough food and shelter for the prisoners. By the end, I mean, the Confederate troops themselves, remember, they were starving at the end of World War II. At the end of the Civil War, the troops were skinny and starving. If you don't have enough food to give your own fighting men, who are always going to be a priority, how much food do you have for the POWs? There's none left. It's a horrible thing. And again, I want to stress this. There were 150 of these camps all over the country in the North and the South, and they were bad everywhere. Andersonville's the most famous, and the most people died there. The North had these camps too. Bad food, bad shelter, disease, famine, abuse. It was awful. It's an awful affair. Civil wars are always awful, awful affairs. Did Jesse know Rush? This lady said, I did not. I never met him. Never met him one time. That's kind of a bummer. I think about that sometimes. I've been asked that before. It's kind of a bummer. Hey, Dr. Burrow. Oh, that's for Bronco, Chris. What, Chris? Respect my name, please. I heard about Putin's comment that if Trump was president in 2022, there would have been no war. Doesn't it strike you that the powers that be wanted war? Look how much money has gone into propping up Ukraine to continue it. Well, you want to go down a little bit of a, I'm not going to say bizarre, but because we'll stick to the facts. Most of these things we know, some things we can guess, but you want to go down a little bit of a Ukrainian rabbit hole that might creep you out a little bit? Let's think about this. We know Vladimir Putin and really every other country, they want that area. We're talking about the Crimean Peninsula. I don't expect you to know everything about geography because it's so friggin' boring and stuff like that. But if you just look at a map of the Black Sea, just look at your phone, look at the Black Sea. You see it? The Black Sea. Now, you see the top part of it. If you're not looking at your phone, don't worry about it. There's a big circle. And where the 12 o'clock is, it's not exactly a circle, by the way, but where the 12 o'clock is on the circle, there's a big chunk of land out there. Big chunk of land. That is called the Crimean Peninsula. It is wealthy with resources, and probably more importantly, it's the only warm water port where a country like Russia or Ukraine can have shipping that gets out to the open ocean. People have been dying in droves for that part of the world for a very, very long time. It didn't just start. People want that. But let's talk about Joe Biden, the Western powers, Ukraine. Let's talk about your history, your family's history. What do you have of your family that is precious to you? Do you have pictures of your grandparents? Maybe, if you're super blessed, great-great-grandparents. Some guy yesterday showed me a picture of his great-grandfather who was part of World War II. And he was a B-29 Super Fortress bomber. He had a hard copy picture of it. Please digitize your pictures. Tonight. I mean, I talk about how time fades your pictures away. Tonight, lightning strikes your house, burns, picture gone forever. There aren't duplicates. Digitize your stuff before you lose your stuff. Let Legacy Box do it for you. And they care for your stuff. They cared for my stuff I just so appreciate it because that stuff meant everything to me. By hand, they will digitize your pictures and your VHS tapes, your home movies, your Super 8 films, and they'll send all you they'll send you all your stuff back, and now you have it forever. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Vladimir Putin comes out and says if Donald Trump was president in 2022, there would have been no war. Does it strike you that the powers that be wanted a war? Well, let's talk about Joe Biden for a moment. In fact, Chris, grab those Joe Biden comments, the ones you've heard 1,000 times about getting the prosecutor fired. Remember, the history here is Russia and Ukraine. Russia, Ukraine have a long history. Soviet Union, all that stuff. But Ukraine had, this is years ago, a very pro-Russian government. Russia, Putin, they got along well. The West, for a variety of reasons, didn't want that. You know, we always have to oppose Russia at all times. We wanted access to the resources. So we engineered a coup. The West did. We engineered a coup that we would oust the pro-Russian government and install a pro-Western government. And we did. Russia's been mad about it ever since, trying to kill their guys and all the other stuff. Russia's been mad about it ever since. But we didn't just want a pro-Western government in Ukraine for freedom's sake or something like that. We wanted them to essentially open up the doors of Ukraine to us. Ukraine is wealthy in resources, crazy wealthy in resources. They have all kinds of things there the West wants. Well, Russia wants it too. So enter Joe Biden. Remember, these are all corrupt places. Most places in the world are very corrupt. Governments, by their nature, are very corrupt. So I don't even mean to single out just Russia's corruption or Ukraine's corruption, but Ukraine is insanely corrupt. It is the black market, has been the black market hub for the world for a very long time. It's a very, very corrupt place. Corruption that we Americans, we understand from watching it, and there's some of that here, but movies and books have taught us some of that stuff. But corruption on a level, it would be awful to live under it. Everything is for sale. And they're always investigating their political enemies for corruption when they're doing corruption. It's just awful, awful. Which brings us to Burisma, an energy company in Ukraine. Energy's big business over there. Burisma. Well, there was a prosecutor looking into this energy company for acts of corruption. But there's an American political connection with Burisma. Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States of America. I'm sure totally coincidentally, Barack Obama essentially put him in charge of Ukraine. You do that with your VP. Hey, this area is kind of yours. You go handle it. Puts him in charge of Ukraine. Joe Biden gets an $80,000 a month gig for his son, which is essentially a no-show job. It's not like his son was VP of sales or something like that. He was on the board. Whenever you see or hear someone's on the board of something, just know they get paid a lot for very little. That's what people on boards do. I can't wait to be on a board one day, Chris. What? Anyway, people get paid a lot for very little. You're paid to have access to Joe Biden. Now, you may remember, Joe Biden bragged on camera about getting a prosecutor fired. The prosecutor he's bragging about here is the one who was investigating Burisma, the company his son worked for.
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, "No, I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Joe Biden got him fired. Now, let me ask you. You ever see a cockroach in your house? You ever see a cockroach? What's the worst part of it? I mean, cockroach is gross. I get that. But it's no big deal. It's a bug. Pull out your flippy floppy and slap him and wipe off the guts and he's dead. What's the big deal? Why is it a bother? Because if you see one, there are others. You saw one, but there are a lot of them. Do you think Joe Biden was the only American politician with a vested financial interest in Ukraine remaining exactly as it was? Do you really believe he's the only one? Come on. If you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona I'd love to sell you. What if American politicians, what if they are as responsible for what's going on right now as just about anybody? Think about that. Think about, Chris, grab me one more. Grab me that Mitch McConnell soundbite. It was bizarre. It was completely bizarre. This was in the middle of Joe Biden's presidency, when inflation was getting out of control, when people were afraid. My emails were so full of people who were just mortally afraid that they weren't going to be able to make the rent. They weren't going to be able to pay their bills. The border was open. It was craziness everywhere. And the most powerful Republican in the United States Senate said this.
Well, I'm going to try to help explain to the American people that defeating the Russians in Ukraine is the single most important event going on in the world right now.
Now, even if you're the biggest born and bred Russia hater, even if you want Putin to lose, you want the Russians defeated, you want the whole country to collapse, even if that's you, and that's fine if that's you, you would never say with a straight face that that's the most important thing going on in the world, would you? Unless for you it is. Unless you have a real vested interest in things remaining just as they are. Something to think about. Dr. Jesse, you were spot on. You guys, you were spot on with the hot, crispy oil. It was so good, I immediately ordered a second jar. Unfortunately, it's already back-ordered since your recommendation was made. He said, I'm guessing the wife bought it for you because it's a pretty small jar and it's probably easy to open with your tiny hands. One, that's not very nice. Two, it's kind of cool. I hope the people who own that company aren't pieces of crap. I just mentioned it on the air because it was freaking delicious. And now apparently we've sold the place out. Chris, remember that? We did that with the hot sauce company the one time. They emailed the show and they're all, we're sold out. What did you do? It's so odd. It's very odd because it's just me and Chris and Corey here. Corey's gone today. It's not important. He's screwing off. Trust me. Corey's gone today. But it's really, really weird because it's just us sitting here just gabbing. And it's not like we're doing this in front of a stadium full of people. You forget there are all these people listening out there. It's wild. What's wrong with you? It is a heavy show, though.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Bronco Jesse. I have a lot in common with Jewish producer Chris, as I've always been very frugal and careful when it comes to spending money. When I go to a movie, I bring my air conditioner jacket with pockets full of drinks and sodas. I think movie theater snack prices are immoral. I am a practicing Christian, and I feel a little guilty about this practice. My wife says it's wrong to be sneaking snacks in. What is Bronco Jesse's opinion? It's from Dave. Now that's a little interesting moral question. We've all done it. Is it wrong? We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, wasting time is easy now. I do a ton of it. Believe me, if you think you're about to get lectured by someone who does it better, you're not. I do a ton of it. But when we have family time, every now and then, shouldn't we do something where everybody will be better at the end of it? I look at Hillsdale College and their free courses as something everybody can do to better themselves. Where would we be at as a country if everybody understood capitalism? If everyone understood the Constitution, the Federalist Papers? Would we be better off as a country if people actually understood the truth of these things? Of course we would. Hillsdale will teach everybody for free. Everyone. Everybody can get this knowledge. They have more than 40 free online courses. Take one this weekend. One. You'll love it. And you'll be blown away at how many they have and how interesting the subjects are. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we're going to keep churning and burning through these things. It's been such a great day. I can't get the smile off my face. So let's dig into the question. Guy, well, this is what he says. When I go to the movie, I bring my air conditioner jacket with pockets full of drinks and snacks. I think movie theater snack prices are immoral. I am a practicing Christian, and I feel guilty about this practice. My wife says it's wrong to be sneaking snacks in. What's Bronco Jesse's opinion? Well, I should first be very honest with you. I do not sneak snacks in personally. I have, in my youth, snuck some beers in. What, Chris? I don't do it anymore. I was dumb. What do you want me to do? I snuck beers into the theater. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't sneak snacks in. My wife, she's so healthy. Sometimes, because she doesn't want to eat, you know, movie theater junk food, she'll bring in, I kid you not, I'm not even joking, she snuck in a salad before. I know, Chris, and it's awful. You know what it's like to watch her bust out a salad and eat it in the theater? Just what in the world? What the? Anyway, let's set her aside for a moment. Is it immoral? Well, probably. You know, you have this thing called a conscience. And that's a good thing to have. And there's a rule. I'll tell you what, it's a little rule we had in Thailand when we got some liberty in Thailand. Because, you know, trannies are big over there. It's not just America nowadays. It was a big place where people go get tranny stuff. And you'd look at a girl and you'd have to wonder, is that an actual girl or is that a tranny? So we adopted a rule that served us quite well. If you don't know, then you know. Is there a question? Are you not sure? That tells you everything you need to know. Pop Smoke, abort mission. All right? If there's something you do that makes you feel guilty or immoral, that's probably your conscience letting you know that it's not good. That's certainly not me lecturing anybody on bringing food into the movies. Like I said, I've done it. I know exactly what it's like. And I complained about it the other day. $100 to take a family of four to the movies? That's a lot of money. I'm floored by the prices now. When we go out to eat, which we don't do as much anymore, but when we go out to eat, I mean, it could be Ob and I. If we go out to one of these Tex-Mex places or something like that, I got a fajita plate. It wasn't even the most expensive one. It was just beef fajitas. And I think it was $40 or $45 for me, Chris. Yeah. And okay. So if she gets something similar, now we're approaching $80. That's $100 for dinner for two. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money. Bronco, the Beaver's Bane. Won't communist redistricting require them to reduce the Democrat majority within each district as they spread their voters over more districts? Okay, so let me explain something really quickly about the about the his name's Brian, about the Democrat redistricting. Because you're hearing a lot of tough talk about it, and Democrats are going to do this, and we're going to do that. Here's Gavin Newsom.
This is radical rigging of a midterm election. Radical rigging of an election. Destroying, vandalizing this democracy, the rule of law. So I'm sorry. I know some people's sensibilities. I respect and appreciate that. But right now, with all due respect, we're walking down a different path. We're fighting fire with fire, and we're going to punch these in the mouth.
All right. They're talking a lot of tough talk about redistricting. Oh, Republicans are doing this, so we're going to do it. Republicans are doing this, so we're going to do it. Well, you can dig into the facts on this. People have already written articles about it. Here's the problem. They've already redistricted in Democrat states about as much as they possibly can. You can always tweak a little more here, tweak a little more there, but the great advantage the communists have had in this country is the GOP is low T and doesn't fight back and do the same thing. They've been doing this insane drawing of district maps for years to where they've pretty much maxed it out. There's not much more they can do. If Democrats want a redistricting war, they will lose that war. And that isn't just me. Democrats in the media have come out and publicly said, we are going to lose the redistricting war because they're maxed out. We haven't been playing the game. They've been playing the game to the max. And now they've carved out every criminal seat they possibly could. There's not much left for them to do. Imagine how much less communism we would have in this country if we would just play the game. Just fight back. No more pointing out hypocrisy. No more whining about bias. No more. Imagine if we did that. No more. Punch back. What they do, do it back. You have to fight in politics, in power, in that way. There is no laissez-faire way to win a political war with communists. You cannot be hands-off. You can't just, well, I want to do it the right way. You can't do that. If we're doing it, then let's do it. If we would like to lay down our political arms and stop doing this, I'm all game. But so far, I've seen no indication of that whatsoever. So it's time to hit back. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, and don't you dare let this feminized version of Christianity, where the only verse they know is turn the other cheek, don't let that convince you that you're never supposed to fight back against evil people when they're doing evil things. You are supposed to fight against evil. You are supposed to. You are required to fight against it, and you also should be getting some gold or silver. That's just basics. That's not even a hard sell. That's basics. A portion of your retirement should be precious metals. Everybody's. There are no exceptions. Well, but I'm young. Good, get some in there. But I'm old. You need it even more. Because what it does, it raises the floor on your retirement. Bubble pops, market disruption, war. I mean, all the crazy things that can and do happen. You can only drop so far. Because precious metals simply have always had value and always will. Have always and will always. If I put $1,000 in $100 bills in your wallet right now and sent you 1,000 years ago, you know what that'll buy you? Nothing. I could hand you gold coins and you could go back to Mongolian times and purchase food. That's lasting, lasting value. Let Gold Co. handle it for you. They are the one I trust. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau for a reason. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.